You are Locked On Rangers, your daily Texas Rangers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On to the Texas Rangers. I'm your host, Bryce Patrick, and today we're looking at what the Rangers rotation, starting pitching rotation, I should say. Not that there's really many other rotations in baseball, but we're looking at what that might, you know, kind of shape up to be next season. The Rangers got shellacked on Monday. I'm recording this on Tuesday afternoon. But first, this episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join me this week on Sunday afternoon to get in on the action. Now let's get a little bit of newsiness out of the way. First, Willie Calhoun, his rehab is going well. That is great to see. You love to see it. It's going so well, in fact, that he is going to be in Round Rock for his rehab for as of Monday. And so hopefully we're thinking that he is going to be back for at least some point in this season. That is what we're hoping for. He's been on the 60-day IL for quite a while. Only played 59 games so far this year. Done all right. Not super great. Not super inspiring. Only 5 home runs in nearly 60 games. OPS is over 700, so it's fine, especially considering where the OPS of some of the other Rangers starters is, right around league-ish average at 96 OPS plus. But we're just really glad that he is back. This is the year that I thought that he was going to be, you know, I thought that this was going to be the year he took a step forward. But, you know, again, he's just been super unlucky. Every year it seemed like when this is his time and, you know, all the other guys, David Dahl and Chris Davis that were signed, or excuse me, K. Chris Davis that were signed to, you know, basically take his spot, he outperformed them. Which it didn't take a whole lot to outperform those guys because they did not do very well. But, you know, he still outperformed them nonetheless. And he hasn't played since June 26th, so it's been a minute. He's been on the 60-day IL, but we're glad that he is coming back. Also, other bit of news he needs to get to. This was announced on Tuesday afternoon. The Rangers made some roster moves. Right-handed pitcher Drew Anderson and infielder Brock Holt have been reinstated from the COVID-19-related injury list. Hyun-Jun Yong and Wes Benjamin both have been optioned to Round Rock. Nick Snyder and Eli White have been transferred from the 10-day IL to the 60-day IL, which means their season is over. We kind of knew that about Eli White. Didn't really know that or suspect that quite yet about Nick Snyder, but that's fine. We'll probably be seeing Nick Snyder quite a bit next year at the major league level. Got some nasty stuff. Really great story for him, a guy who didn't even pitch in college, to get his major league debut and do fairly well for a little bit and then get roughed up towards the final few outings, I should say, of his season. Eli White is going to be out for most of next year. I believe it's an 8-month recovery from the surgery that he's having, but wish him nothing but the best. I bet we'll probably see a little bit of Hyun-Jun Yong or Wes Benjamin at some point for the rest of this season. Glad that Brock Holt is back. Glad that Drew Anderson is back as well. Hopefully they are feeling happy, healthy, and well. But yeah, glad that they're back. Glad that people are getting healthier. And, you know, it's nice to have Brock Holt back. Now that you have Charlie Culberson, the Rangers reliever ace, has a fellow, I don't know, a fellow old person, I should say, veteran. It's a nicer way of saying that, to be on this roster, a guy who plays everywhere and will continue to play everywhere. Also, Andy Ibañez rehab is going fairly well. He just started playing again. So hopefully we can see him back. He's been missing some time since sustaining a hamstring injury. Really got to be careful with those. He was hitting super, super well right before he got injured, had that really long hit streak and a multi-hit game streak, which was a lot of fun to see. The power was starting to be there. The defense was improving, and it was a really inopportune time for him to get injured. Not that there's ever really a great time to be injured, but that was really not a great time for him to be injured. But he's looking like he will be back before the end of the season. How soon he'll be back, I'm not exactly sure. I think it might be a week-long rehab. Those hamstrings, you really got to watch out for those. You got to be really careful about that. But that's enough about that. Let's look at a bad baseball game. The Rangers played a bad baseball game on Monday. And it did not go well for anybody that was on the Rangers, except for Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. He had a pretty solid day, but pitching wise, the Rangers got shellacked. Basically everybody that was there and throwing pretty much got shellacked. And as Levi Weaver of The Athletic put it extremely in his tweet, extremely Ted Lasso voice, the Rangers are behaving like me in the early days of the pandemic because they're getting hammered at home on a Monday night. Hope you like my Ted Lasso impression. That might be the last time I busted out because it was not very good. Just like the Rangers in this game. Spencer Howard started this game. Definitely his roughest major league start for the Rangers so far. He has a 7.38 ERA. You know, we're not really concerned about that. I mean, a little concerned about that. But he didn't get hit for a home run. He did walk one guy, allowed six hits, and nearly all of those base runners scored. He struck out a pair. And, he threw quite a few pitches. I was hoping that since AJ Alexei was going to piggyback start off of him, that he could come in and get a clean inning. He did, because Wes Benjamin was able to come in and close out that second inning. Howard was not able to get through the second inning because he was too busy getting shellacked. He threw 51 pitches. At least 32 of them were for strikes. He was in the strike zone, but he was not firing up his pitches enough. He was getting shellacked. They knew what was coming, which, you know, happens a little bit for these Astros. They tend to know that sometimes. And then AJ Alexei comes in, and he did not do well. This was his worst major league start. First time he has allowed runs, and he allowed quite a few of them. He walked four in 3 2/3 innings, allowed four hits, six runs. All of those were earned, a pair of home runs, three strikeouts, and a dead partridge in a pear tree. Yeah, it was not great for him. I don't know if him not coming in at the start threw him off his rhythm. I'm sure it did a little bit, but like I said before, he has done this before this season. He did it a couple of times in Frisco, not much before the season. And he didn't do it in Round Rock. I think he had four or five games where he came out as part of a tandem start. So it's not like he'd never done this before. And he had a few relief appearances before in his career, but I did it for the most times this year in Frisco. So like not completely out of nowhere, but I'm sure that didn't help. And being at the major league, everything's a little bit different. So he's still not quite used to all of his routines and rituals for what to do as a major league starter, as opposed to a guy starting in the minor leagues. But yeah, kind of knew that he was going to come back to earth eventually. I mean, as good as AJ Alexei has been this year, like he's not a guy who's been a top 100 prospect. He's a guy who's in the top 30 Rangers prospects and has been really solid at every level this year, including the major league level. But this is his third start. Usually it's easier to do well as a starting pitcher in your first couple of starts because there's less game film on you. There's less of a plan of attack. I mean, there's some minor league film, but it's not quite the same as what's available at the major league level. So they kind of figured him out a little bit. Wes Benjamin did get touched up for a run, a solo home run for one of the three batters he faced. He got the other two out. Got out of that second inning. AJ Alexei came in for 3 2/3. Like I said, got roughed up. Hyunjun Young came in and he got roughed up too. Allowed four hits. Two of those were solo home runs. Struck out 3 2/3 innings. Then Charlie Culberson comes in on the hill, shuts it down like the ace reliever he is. He has a zero ERA in two appearances out of the bullpen so far this year. That kind of tells you what kind of a game it was for him. I was a little surprised that Jake Odorizzi didn't pitch more than he did. He only came out at an inning and a third. But, you know, it didn't really matter. Javier came in for the Astros, pitched 2 2/3 innings, struck out 6, just looked really solid. Did get hit a little bit, three hits, one earned run in that time, also gave up a walk. But, you know, it just wasn't enough because the Houston Astros offense was absolutely rolling. Multi-home run game for Yordan Alvarez. He has 30 on the season now. Hooray, congrats to him. Jose Siri had his first two career major league home runs. One of them was off of AJ Alexei, the other off of Hyunjun Young. And Alex Bregman had his 10th home run of the season. That came off of AJ Alexei. Bregman has missed quite a bit of time this year, so 10 home runs is like surprising, but he also hasn't played that many games so far this year. He's only played 75 games this year. He only played 42 last year, so I missed a little bit of time there. But still has an 838 OPS, still doing fairly well. And, you know, I still would have liked the Rangers to have been able to pick him in 2014, but they decided to win in September for no reason. So, you know, there's no point in revisiting the past. A three-hit game for Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, that is about the best thing that happened. A multi-hit game for Nathaniel Lowe. Other than that, it was kind of rough. Ranger did have 9 hits in this one, but Adolis Garcia got hit by a pitch, would later come out of the, he stayed in at the time, but it looked kind of bad. He would later come out of the game, be replaced by Jason Martin. So hopefully he is okay. There's been no update on him being put on the IL, so think he's fine, might take a day off, but everyone might want to take a day off with how badly last night, or Monday night, as you're listening to this, went. Hopefully Monday can be a little bit better. I'm hard pressed to see how it could be much worse. But we're going to quick break and come back. We're going to look at what this Rangers rotation should look like, what I would like it to look like next season. Right after this word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. I'll be hosting rooms for Locked On Rangers once a week. Yes, you can finally join in on the conversation you listen to here every day. You'll find fans just like you on Green Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and yes, of course, reacting to big news or rumors. You'll have the chance to chat with me and might even get a chance to be featured here on Locked On Rangers podcast through our Green Room conversations. Go download the free Green Room app currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the MLB group for the latest updates. Follow me at Bryce Patrick to be notified when my room goes live. I know you won't want to miss it. I'm planning to be live this week on Sunday afternoon during the Rangers game against the White Sox, and I can't wait to hear everyone's thoughts on the Rangers. See you there. Green Room, changing the way we talk about sports. This episode is also brought to you by Bet Online. We are back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back to start another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use promo code NFL100 from football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet online, your sportsbook experts. Be sure to use that promo code Locked On. Now let's take a look at what this Rangers rotation will look like next season. I'm projecting it's going to be a little different than I thought it would be at the start of the season. Looking forward from the start of the season to the 2021 season. Now, obviously, some things changed during the season, so. But there's not completely different. It's not a completely different starting rotation than I thought. Maybe a little bit. Maybe quite a bit different. But there's still a few faces that I think are pretty secure to be there. Number one and two, I feel pretty solid in saying this. Dane Dunning is going to be the number one starter for this team next year. I'd be a little surprised if he's not the opening day starter. Maybe Taylor Hearn will be. I think it'll be close between those guys being number one and two. They're both really solid. Dunning has done it for the entire season, while Taylor Hearn has just been a starter for now 5 starts. He's been really solid in all of his, besides the home run problems that I talked a little bit about on Monday's episode. He has been really solid in that starting rotation. If he can just stop giving up the home runs, he'll have a whole bunch of really long, really effective, scoreless starts, and that's going to be really exciting once he figures that out, which I'm sure he will. He's a really good pitcher. He's got really good stuff, and he has done a fantastic job and is, I'd say, the biggest developmental win for the Rangers this season in what he's done. At number three, I say Kohei Arihara is probably going to occupy this spot. I'm hoping that he will be fully healthy next year and will be able to give the Rangers length at this spot. That is what the Rangers were hoping for him this year. They just needed somebody to eat a bunch of innings, to be a veteran, to be solid. And he hasn't been able to do that because of injuries this year. Just glad that he is healthy. He is still 29 years old. He'll be 29, started for most of next season as well. So he's got enough major league experience under his belt and enough professional experience under his belt that he should be much better, I think, to start next season. Right now, he's pitched in 36 and two-thirds innings so far. The home runs have been a little bit of a problem, 9 home runs in those nearly 37 innings. Only 23 strikeouts, which we kind of knew that he was a little bit more of a strikeout pitcher in Japan. And he's got 1,800 different pitches and knows how to use them all pretty well, but the stuff isn't anything overwhelming. So he's got to be really, really precise. And, you know, I'm a little concerned with the walks, just a little bit. It's a little bit more than I thought he would be. I thought he'd be elite at not allowing walks. He's got 3.2 walks per nine innings, which is fine, but not great. He was great at not allowing walks in Japan and hitting his spots consistently. I think the injuries had a part of that, but I do think that he should be solid and counted on next year. He's, like I said, I'm less confident in him to, you know, lock down that starting spot than Dane Dunning or Taylor Hearn. I think Taylor Hearn, I don't think there should be even a question that he's going to be a starter next year in this rotation. There are more questions about plenty of other guys. Dane Dunning is absolutely unquestioned going to be a starter in this rotation next year and for the long haul. Now, I'm going to take a quick break and come back and look at what I think the Rangers should do at number four and number five in this rotation. Should they go with somebody outside the organization right now, or should they trust some of these young guys who haven't had the best seasons or have come on late and really impressed in a short-term span? Right after this word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Did you know how many flavors Built Bar has? It's a butt ton. That is the technical term for it. It is a butt ton of flavors. And in case you didn't know, in case this is your first time listening to this podcast, hi, welcome to the podcast. We're a baseball podcast that also happens to talk about Built Bar. Or maybe we're a Built Bar podcast that also happens to talk about baseball. They've got so many different flavors, anything you like. They're all fantastic. Cherry Barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate. You know the drill. They're so good and healthy as well. There are 17 to 18 grams of protein in every single bar, calories ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar and net carbs in every single bar. All these flavors are amazing. They're all tasty and they're all healthy. So go ahead and order today because you will not regret it. I promise you, these things are delicious. They are fantastic and they are nutritious. Go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. This episode is also brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream. And it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before. So you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no more need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more about DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. Now, let's look at the number four and five spots in this rotation. I could definitely see this team going to a six-man rotation. I think that might even be likely because there are so many options for these number four and five spots. And, you know, I have a lot of different thoughts about what the Rangers should do. But, you know, as I haven't said Spencer Howard's name just yet, I don't think he's out of the rotation, but I think he's going to be about a number four. And you're going to have to pair him, I think, with somebody else. So maybe this five spot rotation has five or six starters in it. I don't know. We'll see. So at four, I think it's Spencer Howard, but you got to have somebody who is basically a starter, but hasn't quite done enough to just be given everyday starts. And right now, I think that's Colby Allard. I haven't loved what I've seen from him as a starter this season. It's been a little disappointing. I wanted him to take that next step. He is still very young, though. He is still very young. He's only 24 years old. I kind of forget that sometimes because he was drafted out of high school, made his major league debut back in 2018 as a 20-year-old. He really, really moved through the system fast, very advanced stuff. But right now he has a 5 ERA in 27 games. 17 of those were starts. He's pitched 111 innings, 111 and two thirds innings, I should say, and has 90 strikeouts, has in his major league career, just under 200 innings at 198.2 and has struck out 158. So not a whole lot of strikeouts, which, you know, we kind of knew that about him going into this. Didn't have a great season in 2020. That's why he was, you know, being a reliever to start this season. Not a super great 2019. And, you know, not a super great 2018 with the Braves. He came to the Rangers in 2019 as a 21-year-old. It was just okay. He was fine. A little bit better than major league average if you really like the ERA plus, standing in 45 and a third innings, an ERA plus of 105, was fine. He's been mostly just fine this year. Nothing super exciting, but nothing that says, yes, I have earned this starting spot. You have got to give it to me. His whip is at a career low, at a 1.218. The walks per nine have been much better about being under control this year. That has been one of the reasons that that whip is so much lower. Only two walks per nine innings, but the home runs have really been a problem this year. Allowing two home runs per nine innings, that is not at all what you want to see. 25 home runs in those nearly 112 innings. Now, that is my main concern. If you can be a little bit better about the walks, that's good. That is encouraging. But you got to be able to do that while not giving up a whole bunch of home runs. The walks are a little bit less of a problem than a crap ton of home runs. Before this year, he didn't have a huge problem with the home run ball. In 2020, he allowed 1.1 home runs per nine. In 2019, with the Rangers, he allowed 0.6 home runs per nine, only three innings in 45 innings of work in his first year in Texas. So that has been a problem lately. And so that's why I think him being kind of a tandem starter with Dane Dunning as his workload starts to increase, then, you know, maybe Colby Allard moves. He sits kind of in a long man-ish role, but I think that's what's best for him. That's what he's done best at. He's had some really solid starts, but also some absolute clunkers, and that home run problem is definitely a question. And I feel less confident about giving him, just straight up giving him a rotation spot, as I do about some of these other guys that I think will be in the number five spot. Now, let's look at the internal candidates who will be considered for the number five spot, the guys who have already been in the major leagues: AJ Lexi, Glenn Otto, Jake Latz. Now, those guys have been really solid, but, you know, the last two did have kind of clunkers, their first clunkers in the major league, which was going to happen eventually. But, yeah, they had their first clunkers in the major leagues so far through 14, nearly 15 innings. Let's just call it 15 innings. AJ Lexi has a 3.68 ERA, has struck out 14, has allowed two home runs, has walked nine. Those walks are a real concern for him. They weren't biting him in, you know, his first two starts, but they definitely bit him in the booty against Houston. Now, Glenn Otto also got shellacked a little bit, got pushed around a little bit in his last start, and, you know, battled back from not as great a start against against the Angels, but his last start, he got kind of shellacked. So in three starts, he's gone 13 innings. So just a little bit over, or exactly 4 1/3 innings per start, has struck out 16. The walks have not at all been a problem with him. Only two walks and has not allowed a home run yet, but has allowed 14 hits in 13 innings. That's not super great. 10 earned runs, 10 runs total. All of those were earned in 13 innings. But again, it's a small sample size. The Fielding Independent Pitching really, really likes him because he doesn't walk anybody. He has not allowed a home run. His FIP right now is 1.62. So a lot of that, it seems like might be a little bit of bad luck. I feel a little more confident in Glenn Otto, honestly, at this point than AJ Lexi, even though AJ Lexi's starts, you know, his stats look a little bit better after three games because he's only had one clunker as opposed to Glenn Otto, who has had two. But I like a guy who doesn't allow home runs. I like a guy who doesn't walk people. And that has been AJ Lexi's only fault this year. Also, Glenn Otto is a little bit older. Glenn Otto is 25. I suppose AJ Lexi, who is 23. So I don't know. I think that might play into it a little bit. Another guy that the Rangers will consider internally is Jake Latz. He has made one major league start, went 4 2/3 innings, allowed three runs. So a 5.79 ERA, a 25-year-old who did fairly well to start in Frisco, but didn't finish off super well in Frisco, but he looked much, much better when he was pitching in AAA. Let me go pull up his AAA stats. Yeah, four games, three of those were starts, 19 innings, struck out 17, not a huge home run guy, so not super surprising, but he has walked 10 people, so again, there's that walk problem with some of these starters are having, but he has a 3.32 ERA at that point. AJ Lexi in three starts at AAA this year, had a 1.84 ERA in just under 15 innings, but did walk six in those nearly 15 innings, but struck out 19. So I don't know. I don't know what to make of that. You kind of have to be the judge. Glenn Otto only had four starts at AAA this year, at a 2.70 ERA in 20 innings, struck out 19, but did walk seven. So a little bit less than the other guys. And those are the guys who I think from AAA that are going to be considered at this point for that spot in the rotation. Let's look at some of the guys in the lower levels. Obviously, Hans Kraus is gone. Jake Glatz is called up. Yuri Rodriguez is a guy who had a really solid season, a 2.63 ERA in 14 games. That's 51 and a third innings. He struck out 63, walked 21, which, you know, fine. Only three home runs to him at this point. So that is definitely very encouraging from him. Ronnie Enriquez did not have as great a year. I was really looking forward to seeing him, but he did not have as great a season as I wanted him to. Had a 5.04 ERA in 15 starts, 64 and a third innings this year, 71 strikeouts. I really don't think that he is going to be in consideration for that start. Also, Cole Reagan's been solid, but it's going to be a while for him. Tyler Phillips had a really down season in Double A. Not that down a season in Double A, but a really down performance in Triple A. So I don't think they're going to consider him. I really thought that he would be one of the guys to take a step forward and maybe break this rotation. But, you know, here we are. Zach Kent just got called up. He's been there five games in Double A. I don't think that they're going to call him up for the start of next season. So I would throw that out. The other guy, the obvious guy, Cole Wynn. I know everyone's screaming at me. Yes, I'm talking about Double A pitchers without Cole Wynn, because obviously he's the main choice. I don't think that he's going to start the season at the major league level. I think they're going to start him at AAA unless he just blows everybody away. He's had a really solid season so far. Just came back off the COVID list, 18 games for him with a 2.40 ERA, 75 innings pitched, walked 26, has allowed just six home runs in those 75 innings and struck out 92. Yeah, his opponents are batting just 139 against him for the whole season in Double A. And he's still very young, definitely very encouraging seeing what he's done so far this year. I really like the kid. He's 21 years old. He's going to be 22 at the start of next season, but I don't think there's any need to rush him. I don't feel super duper great about all these number five guys. I think they all have their problems in Alexi, Otto, and Latz. But I think they'll definitely fight for one of those spots in the rotation. Also, if Colby Allard isn't just given a starting spot, I could see Spencer Howard and Koyar Hara being the ones to do the tandem piggyback starter thing. Or you could look at free agents. And that's what I think the Rangers should do. I think they should have at least one of those guys try and make a signing like a Lance Lynn, like a Mike Minor, or like a Kyle Gibson. One of those guys who is just a little bit overlooked, who's a little bit on the older side, maybe like 29 to 32-ish range, sign him to something like a three-year deal. And if you're saying you want to compete in 2023, you're going to need to have one of those guys on your roster. You're going to hope that you find one of those guys that, you know, turns out to be really solid when people didn't think that he could be. Take a chance on one of those guys. And there are three different options that I think the Rangers should look at. I'll go ahead and give you four. Chris Archer, this guy's a two-time All-Star. He's been in Tampa Bay and has been in Pittsburgh and is back in Tampa Bay. He's not having the greatest season. He's not had the great last two seasons that he's pitched. He missed 2020. He did not pitch at all in 2020. This year in 19 and a third innings, he's got a 4.66 ERA for Tampa Bay. He's 32 years old. Strikeouts per nine are up. The walks per nine are up as well. But, you know, I don't know how much interest he's going to garner from some. I'm sure somebody will take a chance on him, but the Rangers can give him a multi-year deal that I think that might be tempting enough for him. He's, I don't know, my favorite option, I should say, for that. Another guy to look at is Vince Velasquez. He's a guy who's a former top 100 prospect back before 2015. He was ranked 75th overall by a Baseball Prospectus before the 2015 season. But in the major league level, he has not had a whole bunch of success. Right now, he's pitched in 21 games, 17 of those were starts, just under 82 innings, struck out 85, has a 5.95 ERA. Last year, he had an ERA over 5. has had an ERA between 4 and 5 in all of his major league seasons, except for between 4 and 6. His best year, he had a 4.12 ERA as a 24-year-old in 2016 with Philadelphia after he got traded there by Houston. Pitched 131 innings, struck out 152. Looked really solid, but still had a home run problem. The Rangers can fix that. He's had a real home run problem this year, allowing 1.9 home runs per 9 innings. This guy's got some solid stuff and some potential. He is 29 years old. He will be 29 at the start of next season as well until June. So I think he's a guy worth taking a risk on. Dylan Bundy is another guy who is a former top prospect, was drafted fourth overall back in 2011 by the Orioles. Has bounced around a few different places. Had a really solid season just last season in 2020, 3.70 ERA with the Los Angeles Angels. Not so great this year. Has a 6.06 ERA in nearly 91 innings. Has been bit by the home run ball. 2 home runs per 9 innings. That is not super great. He's had a little bit of a struggle with that. Just in those 2 years. Outside of that, he's been mostly fine. I didn't struggle with that too much in Baltimore. But, you know, I think he's a guy worth taking a chance on. He will be, let's see, I think he's 28 this year. He'll be 29 for the start of next year. A guy who was a very high pick out of high school. 4th overall out of a high school pitcher is really solid. But he's going to be a free agent. I don't know if the Angels are going to want to retain him. Maybe they will. Maybe they won't. But another guy who's a former Angel, Andrew Heaney, who is 30 years old. He'll be 30 at the start of next season as well. A former number 9 overall pick back in 2012 by the Marlins out of Oklahoma State. So has kind of been around the area. Grew up in Oklahoma City, or was born in Oklahoma City, I should say. Not a super great 2021. A 5.76 ERA for 2 different teams, the Angels and the Yankees. He has been worse with the Yankees, so I don't think they will retain him. He started 18 games with LA, had a 5.27 ERA, and then the Yankees just needed somebody to pitch. He's pitched in 11 games with them. Fewer than half of them have been starts, so 5 of them have been starts. 32 1/3 innings with the Yankees, not super great there. His best season had a 4.15 ERA with the Angels back in 2018. He's just really struggled to be consistent. He's had some really great starts against the Rangers. The Rangers have seen that. He's a guy who has potential and is still not old at this point. He's still 30, and he'll be 30 next year. So if you sign him to a 3-year deal, he'll be 33 when that deal is in its final year. So I think he's definitely a guy worth taking a risk on. Those are the 3 guys that I'm most excited about. The Rangers possibly looking at in free agency. Also, there's some rumors about them getting Clayton Kershaw, who has struggled to stay healthy this year, but would be a huge positive influence on these guys, a guy who is a first ballot Hall of Famer, the greatest pitcher of his era, and a local kid. Him mentoring them would be a huge plus for them. I think that would be a really great experience. And also, I just love Clayton Kershaw, and he's a really stinking good pitcher, even if he's not healthy all the time. I'm hoping the Rangers could work with him on being healthier. Just really a bit of a struggle this year. And last year, he's got some chronic back problems, which might scare some teams off of a longer-term contract, which might make it easier for the Rangers to go and bring him home, like the reports are saying that he would like to do. I don't know. I think I would like for the Rangers to be able to, you know, take a chance on one of those guys that I said in free agency, because they've done that very well. It's one of the best player development things they've done over the last few years. And I think that gives you a better opportunity to build quickly out of the to move quickly out of the rebuild in 2023, like they say they want to do. Or if it's looking like they're still going to be rebuilding in 2023, they might be able to flip a guy in the offseason after next year, before the 2023 season, and get some prospects back then. But I think that's worth a risk. I think some of these young guys are definitely very encouraging. I like starting the season with Dane Dunning and Taylor Hearn at the top of that rotation. The rest of the guys, I don't know how super confident I feel in them. I'm looking forward to what Spencer Howard can do. It's definitely going to take a full season of stretching him out. Maybe by the end of that season, he'll be ready to be a starter full time and, you know, go 5-6 innings regularly. I don't know how long that's going to take, but I know the Rangers are willing to wait, and I think he will be worth that wait. For however long it takes to get him stretched out. Obviously, there's going to be quite a few bumps in the road, like his start last night that didn't go super well. But some of the young guys, AJ Lexi, Glenn Otto, maybe Jake Letts, they're definitely providing some encouragement there. And having a veteran like Kohei Arihara, even if he's not giving them the results they wanted, he's giving them some of the veteran know-how and just being a solid presence on this team, because you can't have a rotation entirely of people under the age of 27. That is not super encouraging. And if Dane Dunning is the old guy in the room, that, you know, it's hard to impart a whole lot of wisdom when you don't have as much experience under your belt. That's another reason why I would really like the Ranger to go get somebody who is a free agent, who is one of those veteran guys and can kind of mentor this young Rangers rotation. But that's going to do it for this episode of Locked On Rangers. I'll be back later this week with Grant Schiller, the OG, who went on a fantastic baseball trip talking about, I don't know, probably some prospects, probably some of the great stadiums that he saw. I don't know, maybe some silly nonsense, like is always the case when I talk with Grant Schiller. But that's it for this edition of Locked On Rangers. And until next time, don't forget to enjoy baseball.